Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
As we get into the study, I always do a little bit of recap. And the recap is mostly not there for those who are here most weeks, but for those that have not been here for a couple weeks. So we are on the same starting block in some way so that you are able to follow along with the series that we're in. I remember one time one person was like, do you know how much time we would save if we didn't do the recap? Yeah, but that's not exactly very loving, so I do recaps anyways. But the recap's going to be a little bit different because we're in Romans, but I don't really want to recap the first four chapters so much as this painting right here. Because depending on how long you've been around, you may understand why that painting sits back here blocking your view of the middle screen TV, or you might not. So let me talk about that just a little bit so that we're on the same page for what we're going to be talking about today. We are a church that believes in dreams. We believe in interpretation of dreams as well. We also believe in confirmation of dreams and making sure it's not just a bad burrito moment, that there actually is a dream from the Holy Spirit. What is that? How do we pray over it? How do we compare different dreams that different people are having and how those things come into place? And this came from one of those dreams. And it basically, just so we can kind of explain it out, there's a dimension to it that's in front of this picture, which is a church, a great church. It's actually a church in town that I know, that I respect, that I love. Great church. They have all kinds of systems, programs, all kinds of people in there. It's doing healthy things from a church perspective. But then when you get to the back of the church, literally like the building is cut in half and it's opened up its doors to rocky cliffs like this. That's what's here. That church, rocky cliffs. And when you go around the rocky cliffs, you find this beach of worshipers. And with on the sides, more cliffs where there's stones and smashing waves and rocks and all that kind of stuff. And then the middle, in front of the worshipers, was a calmness. Okay, and so what we've been doing with that, there's about, I guess it's about 2 years ago. I thought it was going to be like 6 months, but God just kind of keeps on doing stuff. He was getting past lukewarm church, past what we're comfortable with church, and moving out into the fullness of kingdom of God living, what it's intended to be when you're a Christian today, instead of like the rest of the world. And since that time, it's been interesting because it seems like the Spirit has led us through like every aspect of this metaphor over and over and over again for a long period of time. Like there was mostly just like get past the lukewarmness and get out to here, and then we started talking about the world and the storms within it, not because it's in the picture, but that's just kind of where we went, especially when we were in the book of Acts. We got into different aspects as far as like being strengthened here so we can go out and rescue people and lead them to the Lord to bring them here. We talked about the calmness of the ocean and what that means, just all kinds of different aspects within this. But the overarching drive was getting past lukewarm Christianity, getting past just day-to-day stuff that works for us, doesn't really think that much about other people, and oftentimes leads to hypocrisy that pushes other people away. Does that make sense? So this has come up multiple times in the last couple of years of season. So I'll put that away for a second. We'll talk about it a little bit more after a while. So with that, getting past lukewarm living, we've been in several different letters from the heroes of our faith. We have gone through how to be mature when we're going through tough times. Again, kind of looking at the stones aspects of things. We have looked at joy in the middle of struggles through Philippians, and right now we're looking at righteousness versus unrighteousness in the book of Romans. So let me get over there, and we're going to go ahead and turn over to Romans 5 to pick that study up. So exciting news. We always say, you know, hey, if you don't have a Bible with you, we've got baskets of Bibles underneath the chairs around you that you can take one of those, use one of those, steal one of those, whatever you'd like. But they all have new Bibles now. Ooh, we really upgraded those paper Bibles. They're actually smaller now, so I don't know what your print's going to look like. But they're all in there. Aaron and Zeke helped me today replace all the Bibles and for the price of two bottles of water for free for each. and they did a great, great job. But those are there, and YouVersion's up and running. But what we usually do is read a little and then talk a little, and I think that's kind of the format we're going to continue with today. So, everybody good? Everybody in? There you go. Okay, Romans 5. Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also attained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Okay, so let's get into this. The first two especially, are very much about the wrath of God, the seriousness of sin, how that impacts our lives. And that, as I promised at the beginning, it just was really, really heavy stuff. As they were talking about Jews and Gentiles, and if they're the same or not, and there's a lot of controversy within that. And then we also were looking at some of the same type of things that's really not controversial for us today, but there's other issues that are controversial and personal and heavy. So it was a very heavy time of what does God think and how does he move when it comes to unrighteousness. Now we have started the turn last week, and we're completing the turn this week into just how awesome grace is. Now we understand how serious sin is, just how awesome it is that we have grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ if we accept it. And I don't know about you, but like even his wording is much more pleasant to read than the first couple of chapters. The first couple of chapters are like so hard to follow. And then now it's just kind of flowing through. So we're kind of continuing that drive into that. Now, my daughter and I were having a conversation last week. I don't bring up my kid too often because that just makes her nervous whenever I do. But she was like, I'm just talking about not being in the heavy stuff as much and going into the gray stuff. And she was like, yeah, I was just ready for a break. I was like 3 weeks of like really heavy stuff. And I've heard other people say similar things. And I'm like, yeah, even I'm ready for grace. I was just and just getting some levity to it. And of course, I thought she was talking about some of the more controversial issues that we were talking about, including like with the LGBTQ+ community and some of those type of things. And then she goes, "If I never hear the word circumcision again, I will be happy." And that surprised her because I thought maybe a young man in the church might be saying, "Hey, I think I've heard the word circumcision too much." But I did tell her, "You're lucky I didn't use the circumcision slideshow I was going to use last week." But we're moving on. We're looking at the grace aspect of things a little bit more in case. And so when you look at this, and the first word there is therefore, which always means because of what we just read. So again, we're talking about the gospel. He's talking about how we find salvation, that through Jesus Christ, when you accept Jesus, and make sure you hear this part, it's not just believing in Jesus. When you choose to accept Jesus as leader and forgiver in your life, by acknowledging with your mouth he's the Son of God, "Your God, I'm not. I'm following you. I give this life back to you." And when you believe that he died and rose again, "I don't deserve this forgiveness, but I'm taking it on, and I want to go to what you created me to be, not what I've been trying to do." When you are saved, because that is possible, therefore now we can start talking about God through faith. So that's what he's moving into from this aspect. And he talks to us about several different aspects of having that peace with God that's only available through God, as we talked about last week with the faith of Abraham and of Jesus. So some of the benefits of having peace with God through salvation is that we have access through Christ to God. Which, again, if you remember last week when I did that little chart over there, again, there's God and us, and then the separation because of sin and Christ The cross took and filled that, so if you accept the gift, now we have access to God, which we did not have before we accept Jesus as leader, forgiver, and life. Not in the same way that we do now. And so that should be just amazing enough as it is. Just the fact that we have the opportunity to be reconciled with God, to have a relationship with God, that he cares about us, that he's mindful of us, that he's active in our lives. Paul states it as, it's just amazing the fact that he died for us when we were such train wrecks. He's like, you know, like, I think probably most of us in this room have somebody that we would die for, or like take their place. Maybe it's a spouse or a child or somebody who's like really good, or there's this guys that are tougher than me, become Secret Service, protect the president, or, you know, whatever the case might be. There are all those situations in it. But like, if you can think of the person that you least like in this life, might still be a spouse, might still, no, but at least like they trash you every time your back's turned, constantly causing you problems, have done things maliciously that cause you a lot of pain, like you might not be so quick to jump in front of them if a train's coming. You know what I mean? It's very odd to find somebody who would do that for someone who is purposely rebellious against you, and Jesus did it for you. In spite of the train wreck that I am, just how awesome it is that we can have peace through Christ because of his love and his sacrifice for us. Through that, we are able to stand. Through that, we're able to stand. And what I mean by that is, as we dig more into the scripture, as we dig more into the life, as we dig more into Christian community, have brothers and sisters, and we're supporting each other, and things change, then we should have a firmer foundation if your faith is real. We should have a firmer foundation so that whatever is going on in life, we're able to stand. We're not bashed around by every little thing. The Bible talks about being smashed against the rocks by every wave. That's how the world lives. We're not that. We have a firm foundation so we can stand. So if you go and look at your social media, if you look at the way that you talk in the break room or whatever the case may be, are you standing or are you being bashed around by every wave that you're just constantly stressed out, maxed out, angry, depressed, feel like everybody's slighting you, you're always the martyr, you're always the victim, whatever the case may be, is not really the life of a Christian. But because we have access to God, then we have something that we can stand upon. From there, we can also rejoice. These are the things as Paul's listing. We can rejoice because we can rejoice in hope. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are when it comes to how I react to those circumstances with my emotions. I mean, of course, I'm going to maybe have to go into crisis mode or saving money mode or cut the budget here or make some changes in my schedule there to be able to do stuff. But I do not have to be dismayed and overwhelmed because I have a hope in Jesus Christ, including in my sufferings. So it's kind of getting back to a little bit of the Philippians type mentality of having joy in spite of our circumstances. And one of the things he does, he gives us a separate list. I'm going to kind of throw it on the side here. That there's actually a benefit to sufferings in our life if you're a Christian and you have a God mindset. They're not fun, but there's a benefit because when I suffer, when I'm going through a tough time, and I don't just melt and cry and throw a hissy fit, but I learn how to go through it, then I start learning endurance. I remember, man, when I was a kid, if I stubbed my toe the next month, it was over. I was whining, I was screaming, go through a couple of kidney stones, I can kick a rock without a shoe on with no problem at all. You know, you learn a different pain tolerance. And the same thing happens for the Christian as we learn endurance when it comes to sufferings that we go through. And as I learn endurance, then I start to develop a character. All of a sudden I realize that my social media has changed and my break room talk has changed. And all of a sudden I have a character about myself that other people are like, well, I can see that you have taken your car in for the third time this month. Why aren't you wanting to snap somebody's neck? Well, because I'm developing a character. God's got this, and it's been hard. And, you know, like I was just talking to a friend of mine this morning, like, where you're saving up for something that you need to have done, you're feeling good and whatnot, and something comes out of the blue and it takes all that money away. It's like, come on! Right? We're building our character that we're continuing to move and we're growing because of that hope that he talked about, because we have a hope. So if I want hope, I get into the scripture, I learn the promises, and they say, I think I'm going to try to believe in those for a while. I'm going to see if some of the things that God says is true, is what's really there. And according to this, again, if you believe the scripture, which I happen to do, then the promise is you will not be put to shame. You will not be put to shame if you embrace suffering in this way, that you can rejoice in your sufferings. So with that, we also have the benefit of God's love being poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. When you accept Jesus, live forgiven your life, and the more that you embrace it, the more it grows. I've said it to both of my kids. I believe I've said it to Jenny. If not, I'll say it today. If there's anything about me that they love, that they benefited from, that they respect, that they want to carry on in their lives, it's God. Because I know who I am without God. I know who I am without God. I'm kind of an idiot. And so if there's anything there, it's because I've been following the biblical scriptures. When my son and I talk about finances, because that's one of our topics that we like to talk about, and we talk about the ups and downs of financial that we go through. The ups are because I'm following biblical principles. And if you follow the biblical principles, they actually kind of work. You know, and so by taking and reveling in the same way into God's love and God's ways, then you have a benefit of your peace through God. And then, of course, we are also justified. We are justified by his blood, and we are justified, and we avoid the wrath of God. When you look at these things, I think it brings to life a little bit those last couple of verses. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Again, the way to receive that reconciliation, it's right there as a gift to you. Have a little chat, Jesus. I accept you as leader and forgive him my life. Everything's turning upside down. Whatever you want to do, I'm yours. It's literally just that easy. It is just that hard. Just that hard. One of the side dreams that came off of this dream behind me seems relevant to bring in is that there was a beach as well there. This is somebody else's dream. And to get to the beach, you had to walk across like it was just littered with seashells, just littered with it. And everybody was barefoot, and they're like, you know, I don't really want to go across the seashells. You know, like they're afraid of cutting their feet or hurting their pain or whatnot. But as soon as they started, they realized that the seashells just felt exactly like the sand. There was no pain, there was no struggle whatsoever. And I think as we talked about that and we explored that more and more, it just continues to go to a kingdom of God living is available to me through Jesus Christ. And sometimes we'll look and say, but I got to give up this, or but I maybe this isn't a good relationship, I shouldn't be in, but this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. It doesn't hurt anywhere near as much as you think it's going to, and what you gain from it is incredibly, immeasurably more. Incredibly, measurably more. So with that as our foundation, bringing all that back onto our page, we're going to do another kind of character study. I hate saying character because then that sounds like we're just talking about fiction. We're not. We're talking about heroes of our faith. Last week we talked about Abraham and the importance of faith in our life, of active faith instead of just saying we believe. If you missed that, again, all these are available on the church website or the YouTube page or whatever. But I think last week I said, I think we're talking about David next week. I lied. We're not talking about David at all. We are talking about Adam. So let's read a little bit about what he's bringing in on that and see how that plays into that lifelong history of a man of faith, which might surprise you that I say that, but he was. Okay, so here we go. Verse 12 for a little bit. It says, therefore, so again, according to what we just talked about, according to what we just read, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Okay, that's a little bit more confusing than the previous paragraphs, but we'll talk about it. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many die through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of grace by that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Okay, so like I said, just a little bit more confusing, but here's what it kind of boils down to. Sin came into the world through one man. Now, he's using it as a metaphor, so he's kind of putting all of it on Adam. You're not here seeing Eve mentioned into this. But for his metaphor, he's saying they all came through one man, through Adam. And again, I don't beat up Adam for that. I don't beat up Eve for that. I just mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Because if all these generations, no one ate of the tree of knowledge, I would have been the idiot who ate of the tree of knowledge. That's just part of who we are. And so when he sinned, it came through that action, through that sin. That was that choice of rebellion. It was that pre-knowledge that if I do this, it separates me from God, but he did it anyways. Then when it came through one man, it ended up impacting all humans. All humans. And that, not just like he did it, so now we're stuck with it. It says because we continue to sin, it impacts all humans. So whoever you want to think of as the nicest person you know, or that person that you didn't want to push out of the way for the bus, we all fall into the same boat. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And so that sin coming into the mix changed everything. And then it also impacts all the world. Now this is a little bit of a bonus move, kind of a building on what Paul said. But while I believe that as a human, I was not initially created to have sinful tendencies. I was not created to have illness. So just because we're born a certain way in anything doesn't mean that God made us that way. He made a perfect plan and then sin corrupted it. So I don't say like if a baby is born and they have some dreadful disease that they're only going to live for 3 days, that, well, yeah, God picked that baby just to kill it. You know, that's part of the corruption that when it comes to illness and those type of things. In the same way, I think there's a lot of things that we experience in the world that's not part of God's initial plan. Tsunamis, famine, tornadoes, hurricanes were not part of the original plan. They were corruption of sin that corrupted all of creation. And so sin really has done its number. It's amazing to me that I'm stupid enough to keep leaning into it, but it has done quite a number. But what he says is, there's also one man who brought the free gift of redemption. That if Adam is the one who brought sin into the mix, he's the one that brought redemption. One thing I think is awesome, this is a side note. When you read the story of Genesis, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, I don't know. And they ate of the tree of knowledge, okay? So sin, everything got messed up. And they got kicked out of the garden. Yeah, that was punishment. And there's other things that came with it. But he blocked it with the angels because inside, according to the Bible, inside the garden was also the tree of eternal life. And if they went back in and ate of the tree of eternal life, you and I would be stuck like this forever. Forever. And he didn't want us to be stuck in corruption for eternity. And so we have this season because of the first sin, blocked us from the second. And now, according to the scripture, we read in Revelation, that tree of life is in heaven, that he has taken from this earth. So he's a pretty good guy. Through one man comes the fullness of the redemption. And that impacts all humans. There is no such thing as I've done too much, I will never forgive me, or you don't understand, no one ever loved me, I'm not worthy of it. It impacts every single human, that love that he did. And it also impacts the entire world. And we will see a change in this world in the end of days. It's promised to us. It's promised to us. So that's what he's kind of bringing into the light when it comes to some of these things. So let's talk just a little bit about Adam. If you want to read deeper into some of the stuff I'm about to talk about, Genesis 1, 2, 3 is kind of the ballpark I'm trying to stay within. But think about like how much God was awesome with creation. Okay, first off, just the order of creation. I like that the narrative gives us the order of creation. Because if any of those were a different day, like he's like, I just don't feel like doing day 4. Maybe I'll do day 5 stuff and come back. It all would have been wiped out. Nothing would have worked. Okay? And so by the time that we were placed here, everything was in place for us to just have glory. Just awesome, awesome glory. It's not like we showed up and he's like, don't worry, I'll get the food tomorrow. You know, it's just like everything's ready to go. And not only did he give us what we needed, but he gave us a variety just because he loves us. Like, imagine if God created us and the only thing we needed to be nourished is grapefruit. And that's all he gave us was grapefruit. And all you ever get to eat is grapefruit. I would hate that. I hate great food as it is. But even if it was pizza, I would hate that. Like, there's just no way. But he's like, I'm going to give them all kinds of colors. I'm going to give them all kinds of food. I'm going to give them all kinds of drinks. I'm going to give them all kinds of animals. I'm going to give them all kinds of seasons. Just out of his breath before we even got here was this unimaginable amount of beauty within his creation and this variety. And then he makes us in his image. And I'm not going to get into a debate whether or not your pet Fluffy from when you were kids in heaven or not. I don't get into it theologically. I do hope that dogs are in heaven. Cats don't deserve what they get. But dogs should be in heaven. It's your birthday, I forgot. You said you want me to be mean still. But anyway, outside of that, cats, dogs, animals have emotions. They're awesome. They're personalities. I'm actually starting to like our dog just a little bit. But they're not made in God's image. They don't have the reason and the logic and the souls that you and I have. That's a gift that he gave to us. He could have made us mindless fools who had no choice on whether or not we love him and follow him. But he didn't want puppets. He wanted to have a real relationship with his children. I think that's awesome. He gave man all authority over all the animals, all over the earth, dominion over the entire earth. He gave us community. It wasn't good that Adam was by himself, so he made Eve. He took and made it so that we can reproduce and called us to reproduce. He even gave us himself for Adam. I mean, that's just perfection, and it's what he's trying to get us back to. That's what he died for. Does that make sense? Still with me? And there's a verse, it's amazing to me to think about in Genesis, where it says, they heard, this is Adam and Eve, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and the wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. This is right after they sinned. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? The first amazing part is the community aspect of that, that there was a time when God just showed up in the garden and said, hey, you guys want to go for a walk? That to me is probably one of the most exciting parts about heaven, if that's what he's trying to get us back to. Is I can just go for a walk with God. I can laugh with him and cry with him, talk with him. I think that's amazing that they had that. But they hid because they knew that they had separated themselves from God. They end up saying it's because they knew they were naked, and he's like, how do you know you were naked? Somebody's eating from the tree of knowledge. But I remember being at a conference in Illinois, I think it was. Man, this is going back probably 23, 24 years ago. And stop it. Who said true? Because I was going to say, was everybody over in that general corner who's probably older than me. So what are you guys doing to me? What are you doing, Deb? I was at this conference, and it was a large conference and stuff, and a guy was talking on this particular verse. And he talked about he thinks we do this verse a disservice, the way I just read it, and I agree with him. I purposely read it the way that I always had before. Because he was saying that if God has that desire and has created that union with us, and then all of a sudden shows up and there's a separation, would he say, Adam, where are you? Like they're playing hide and go seek. Because I don't think they would have. He said, I think he would come in and say, Adam, where are you? What's happened? It would just be a gut-wrenching yell. I did this because I love you guys. And because I think that's his emotion for us. I think that's his love for us. I think that's his intensity for us. I described it one time, because I completely stole that from him once before. And I tried to put it at the same standpoint that at that point it was my son. If my son was riding a golf cart around, and I noticed, and I knew it didn't have good brakes, and I noticed he was going down the driveway that was on an incline towards the road, and I could see a car was coming, and in my mind's eye, I knew that that car was going to hit him, and that I could not get to him in time. Would I go, Ryan, watch out? That wouldn't be the emotion. God knew disaster came upon his child and screamed out for them. And so this is where we get this one man, one act of Jesus desiring to die for you and to raise again for you. Let me read this last little section here. Verse 18 says, therefore, once again, another therefore, Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now, the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The normal place to go to here would be talking about, again, the intense love, the intense purpose, and the invitation to accept his love and forgiveness and lordship over your life. Personally, I will say that's still very true. If you have not accepted Jesus as leading and forgiving your life, do so, please, for your sake. Like I said, it's just, I mean, you can do it right now. While you're saying, God, I need you. I'm going to give you this life back. I accept your forgiveness. And anything we can do to support you in that, as brothers, sisters, whether from far or close up, we're all in. That's very appropriate here. We talked about that very in-depth last week. Talk about it every week in some way, shape, or another, because if we're not leading people to Jesus Christ for salvation, what are we doing here in the first place? However, let me also bring another scope of it into things. Because we as the church, capital C, we as humans, especially if we're in the lukewarm end of things, like to look at this type of talk and say, what's this mean to me and my life? And then stop there. When Christ says, no, you're ambassadors, you're witnesses, and you have a mission. So we also have to ask, what does this mean to the people that are around me? The people that he's entrusted to me. Are we still good? I think I messed this all up. There it is. Okay, so let me take a break from that for a second. Boom. So there was another set of dreams that we have been exploring more recently. About a month ago, we had a sermon entitled Stone March that really dug into this aspect of dreams. And the dreams are decently repetitive, where there is a storm happening or a storm coming. And what we have seen over and over again, usually at my old house or my dad's house. My dad's house is always represented, and it's no longer there, but it's represented to me as my father's house, capital F, not just lower F. My dad, when he shows up in dreams, so far it's always been God. My mom, it's always been the Holy Spirit, so on and so forth. So first dream that came in this series was at my old house. My mom came in, again, Holy Spirit. She's dressed for Easter, which ended up having a tie into Easter for our church several months ago. She goes upstairs. She's going to take a nap. Then I'm downstairs. Massive storm comes on. It's throwing trees across the road in front of our house. It's ripping things apart. It's ripping the front porch roof off from the house. A little intimidating, a little overwhelming. And I said, well, I hate to wake up Mom, but probably should let her know, that we're all about to die. And so I remember going into the room, it's pitch black, and I'm like, Mom, and she's like, what? I was like, there's a storm outside, and she's like, oh. And then waking up. And we had a very serious vibe, like Jesus sleeping in the boat. Like, we got this. So, okay, so from the house of God, we would say, but it was started a series of different storm situations. And so we talked about that. It was about a month ago. Again, you can pick that podcast up. And I don't know, and I still don't know if that's just storms in our lives, if that's some kind of massive event that's going to come to the church, capital C, little c, the community, a 9/11 event, last days. So we looked at it from all kinds of different perspectives about where we're at in last days, all those kind of things. And I was sharing with the elders the other night, like, there was an intensity as far as how the Spirit was shoving it on me. Personally, I was like looking at the news 3 or 4 times a day, just seeing, is it here yet? I mean, like, it was just that diehard. And I'm not one to try to create things, but it just felt so heavy that it has to be somewhat, but maybe not. And so we had that sermon and that study, and then we haven't talked about it for the last month. So I thought last week, well, maybe I'll give an update at the end of church. And right before the end of church, I felt like, no, wait until you talk to the elders. We had a meeting Tuesday night. Okay. Well, so here was your update. There was nothing. The dreams completely stopped. There was no more intensity. There was nothing after that sermon. So I was thinking for like a month, like, okay. Or maybe that was for somebody who was in the house that God really was intensely wanting that information to. Maybe it's something that's going to happen in the future and we just needed to know it then. Or it is directing our studies, again, of preparing for that, for going through sufferings and tough times. And then Sunday night there was a dream. And this dream was pretty straightforward. There was still some elements to it. And I shared it with the elders Tuesday night. Well, I was at my father's house. We're outside, a lot of people around, and a massive storm comes through, more than any of the other dreams. And then there was a break, and another storm was coming that was going to be worse. So we were at the side door of the house trying to get people inside the father's house before the storm came. And it wasn't like they're just walking around like none of their business, you know, whatever. They were like trying to get into the house like people trying to get into Noah's Ark after the first thunderclap. I mean, like they were desperate. And we're trying to pull people in, and there's people that are in the house, but they're not moving back and to get other people in while we're trying to drag people in. So trying to get people to move back. My daughter was in this one, and she was kind of like, she was asking questions and trying to help, but also trying, kind of getting forced out at the same time and stuff. So I said, I want to take that to the elders, and we need to pray with this popcorn in a little bit and see what's going on. And so we got to talking about it, and we noticed some intensity differences as far as the intensity of the storms. We recalled another dream where at my old house, I came home, my dad was in the driveway, widening the driveway so it'd be easier for people to get in. And the garage that used to be there was like this massive garage unit, like military garage unit, so it'd be easier for people to get in there. And the weather was great out. He had to show it off. He's a young buck, muscular guy, can still beat my butt. But we're like, okay, so a couple months ago it was making it easier for people to get in. Now people are trying to get in, and we're trying to help them. I'm like in droves. The storm's there instead of the weather and stuff. So we're talking about these different aspects of things. And as part of our conversation, we had this picture in the office. And we're talking about the different aspects that are there. And Dan started bringing up some stuff about the ark. And he's talking, and I'm looking at it. You have a picture like the ark, like when it's open, the animals are coming up and stuff. There's that big old thing, and the plank's down, like a big plank, and they're coming up. Do you see that there? Do you see the world here and the world here and the ark opening here? And so if we're going to be talking about the aspect of this is for all men, all women, that the gospel message of Jesus Christ changes everything. And as God is making it easier and is bringing our attention to the openings of others that can come from the storm to the beach to breathe so that they have the ark, it really is an evangelistic message for you and I. That we're in a season that, I mean, there's never been a season that's not evangelistic. But we're in a season, we watch the news and go, well, I bet it's the last days, and we go on to act like nothing's going on, no matter what the cause is. And so we're talking about that, and just like, wow, that really has this arc element from 2 years ago. And then Monica was talking about, well, did you ever consider maybe Emily is the church, is our church? You know, my child, or however you want to look at that and whatnot. And I said, well, no, not really. And she's like, well, I encourage you to. And I'm like, no. I'm just kidding. No, but I have been. And if we have an ark opening to the glory of God, and we're just happy we're in the house and we're not moving to let other people in, what are we doing? So I would invite us this time, if you very easily, one of the things about talks like this is the Holy Spirit's going to talk to you individually as much as I'm talking to the group. So if this is all about you coming to know Jesus, leave forgiving your life, or you taking and saying, okay, now that because I have in the past, I can lean into peace now, and I can lean into joy, and I can lean back into, and I need a stronger foundation, I need to get in the Word. All those are great messages, but please, every one of us who've accepted Jesus as lead and forgiven our lives, put this on your table of thought. Am I happy just to be in the house, or am I going out and helping people find that door? All people, through one man, for all creation, all of mankind.
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500 or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.